Praise the Lord. Amen. Man, I tell you, what a tremendous blessing. I love just singing about the Lord and singing Scripture. Amen. What a tremendous blessing. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Last week, I preached on a reminder of who God is. A reminder of who God is. In Psalms 46:1, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We talked about last week how God had to remind Moses of who he is. When Moses doubted, he said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He told Abraham, he said, I am the Lord. And so the psalmist, he's reminding us that he is our refuge, our hiding place, a place of shelter from the storms of life, a place of trust. Not only that, says, and strength. He is your strength, your power in the time of weakness. And number three of last week, your very present help. I love that. Very present help in time of trouble. For ever ready with help that exceeds. He is sufficient. He's beyond sufficiency for our help. He's exceeding of the help that we need. And so I want to continue that today in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Start reading there in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and here it is, and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all. I love the word all. All our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be here today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you. Lord, just to sing praises, to have sweet time of fellowship and greeting one another and so forth. And I'm so thankful for that, just to have the opportunity to be in your house. I pray that now that you'll help us as we look into your word. I pray that God, you'll speak to me and speak through me. I do pray. And Lord, I pray that I will respond properly to how you will speak to me, and that we all will respond according to as to how you will speak to our hearts today. Lord, if there's someone that's not saved, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. And God, whatever the needs may be, Lord, you have brought this to me to preach today for a purpose. And I pray that, God, that purpose will be served, and that we will hear and also receive as to how you will speak to us today. We thank you. We love you. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you remember a time when you were uncomfortable? You probably say, well, yeah, I was uncomfortable last night. But just think about that. Just an uncomfortable time. I'm going to give you 10 uncomfortable situations. I won't give you the how to deal with them, okay? But I read an article, okay, and it gave 10 most uncomfortable situations. And the article also gave ways of dealing with these particular uncomfortable situations. Number 10, I'm going from 10 down to 1, okay? Number 10, forgetting someone's name. Forgetting someone's name. You ever been, you know, you should know a person. Actually, during the fellowship time, somebody said, you remember me? No. You know, you want to say, no, somebody asked, somebody set me up. Thank you for setting me up. Somebody set me up and said, do you remember her? That's what happened. Pastor, you remember her? Don't do that, by the way, okay? Because I'm not going to remember her or him or whatever. Remember her? And I'm thinking, Lord, please help me right now because I don't remember. So I'm thinking, was it last week? Was it 2 weeks ago? It's been 20 years. That was better. Amen. I think it's been 20 years, right? Something like that. 10, 15. She just laughed. She don't know. But anyway, it wasn't very uncomfortable because I'm just whatever. You know how I am. But again, those type things are uncomfortable sometimes. You know, if I'm in the foyer and I'm shaking hands and you told me your name like 50,000 times and I don't remember it, you know, and here's what I say. Well, you know your name, so I'll just ask you next time. OK, and you just keep telling me. But anyway, that's number 10 on the list, forgetting someone's name. Number 9, making small talk and dealing with awkward silences. Dealing with awkward silences. You ever been on the phone with somebody and you're talking, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I gotta say something. And you just say something, you know, and then when you say, you want to pull it back because it's probably something crazy. You know, awkward silences. Number 8, going on a first date is an awkward thing or uncomfortable situation. Number 7, confronting a coworker. That is a very uncomfortable situation. This person's done something or whatever, offended you in some sort of way, and you have to confront them. If you want to look at it in this way, confronting a church member. All right, maybe you want to look at it that way. However, number 6, talking to your kids about sex and other sensitive topics. Number 5, talking about taboo subjects. Subjects which basically don't go there kind of subjects. Politics, religion, money. Okay, those type things, okay, uncomfortable. Number 4, owning up to a mistake. Number 3, surviving situations that involve the human body. I hate to be graphic, but you know what I mean, right? You ever smelled up the area around some people? That's awkward, isn't it? That's uncomfortable, okay? I'll leave it at that, all right? Number 2, helping someone through their illness or grief. That's an uncomfortable situation. I don't know if you've been there, but for pastors, that could be uncomfortable. And then, number 1, dealing with people who make you uncomfortable. The number 1 uncomfort is basically on this article is dealing with people that make you uncomfortable. Now, they gave these 10 uncomfortable situations in the article, and then they gave the solutions. But let me say this to you. As I looked through some of the solutions, I realized that they were man-made solutions that really were not going to profit them. And I want to ask you today, have you ever been in a time of life where life just has been uncomfortable for you? And there's really nothing that could be said to actually solve the problem or the uncomfortable situation that you're in. You see, they gave worldly solutions with no profit. The Bible says in Psalms 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, how we think and so forth, that they are vanity. They're useless. They're empty. So my question to you today, what do you do when life becomes uncomfortable? Our God in our uncomfortable times, we see here that He is the God of all comfort in our times of tribulation. Because if you look here in the scripture, look at what it says in verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation when life becomes uncomfortable. He is our comfort. So let me just give you a couple things here. Number 1, verse number 3, who's God? Reminding us of who God is. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God, I have this in all caps, of all comfort. All comfort. That means He's not necessarily the pillow. He's the pillow. He's the mattress. He's the thermostat. He's the house. He's the carpet. Whatever you need for comfort, He's the God of all comfort. Not some comfort. So there's no problem that you can bring to Him that He says, well, I don't have enough comfort for that. No, He's the God of all comfort. And then, verse number 4, the Bible says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Again, all caps, comforteth us in all tribulation. Whatever you're going through, whatever tribulation that you're facing, whatever uncomfortable situation that you're facing, God says, I'm the comfort for that. His comfort is always in action in our lives. Go to John chapter 14, please. John chapter number 14. If you want to start there in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 14. And here, Jesus, of course, is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them that he's going away. He said he's coming back for them. But in verse number 16, he's speaking to them, and he says to them, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. Forever. So the God of comfort will be with you if you're saved, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, forever. In all situations, and he is the God of all comfort. So he said, I'm going to give you another comfort that he may abide with you forever. Verse number 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth, what's those next two words? With you, and shall be, next to? In you. So the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, is going to be with us forever, abide with us forever. He's going to be with us forever and in us forever. Man, you can't beat comfort like that, amen? The world can't give you that kind of comfort. Only God can give you that comfort. So his comfort is always in action. So we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, and the Holy Spirit of God is known as the Comforter. The Comforter. Now, if you look at verse number 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Now, that word comfortless there really is our word. If you look at the Greek word, it's basically our word for orphan. So he's saying, I'm not going to leave you parentless. I'm not going to leave you uncomfortable. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. So again, that word there basically means orphan. So he said, I am going to be with you forever. I'm going to parent you through your life. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. We have a great Heavenly Father who is our comforter. So verse number, back over, don't worry about keeping your finger over there. I'll just refer to it back over in John. Okay, so go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm not a good pronouncer of the Greek, but anyhow, I'll do the best that I can. So if you look at the word comfort in verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you look at it, it says the God of all comfort. That word there is paraklesis. Comfort, the Greek word paraklesis basically means comfort. And then verse number 4, when it says who comforteth us in our tribulation, that word comforteth is parakaleo, which means, now listen, to call near, to invite. So what he's saying here is, he's saying, okay, and of course comforter is parakletos, or however you want to pronounce that. So what he's saying here is like, look, in order for you to be comforted, I want to draw you close to me. So when he says, who comforteth us, comforteth, he's drawing you nigh to him. So what does he say? I am your comfort. I'm not necessarily providing the comfort. I am the comfort. So the Holy Spirit of God in your time of tribulation, in our times of tribulation, he's saying, draw nigh to me. Draw nigh to me and you will find your comfort in me. And so the goal is not necessarily to say, Lord, would you please comfort me in this situation? Look, the goal is to get close to him because he is the comfort. And that's what he's saying here. Matthew 11:28, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You find it when you draw nigh to him who comforteth, come to me. Basically, when someone's hurting or your little kid hurting or whatever, you draw them nigh to you. And they find comfort in just the drawing nigh to you. I broke my leg playing basketball at the college, and I even remember the move. You know, I was trying to do a finger roll, and man, just it was all pretty and come down and broke my leg, you know. And so I'm kind of, you know, in a problem. I have an issue here. And so I get home, and I'm sitting there rubbing on my leg and rubbing my leg and, oh, just, you know, just whining and so forth. And then, and I'm sorry if I sound like a little baby, a little kid, okay? It is what it is. But my mom Pearl came in, and she said, "What happened?" And I said, "Man, I hurt my leg, you know, leg, I believe it's broken." She comes in and she draws me nigh to her. What happened? The pain is gone. I didn't even think about the pain no more. I was comforted because she drew me nigh to her. That's what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in your time of tribulation. He wants you to draw nigh to Him because He says, "I am that comfort." During our times of tribulation, again, we're going to draw nigh to our source of comfort, the Holy Spirit of God. Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a storm that caught a vessel off a rocky coast and threatened to drive it and its passengers to destruction. In the midst of terror, one daring man, contrary to orders, went to the deck, made a dangerous passage to the pilot house, and saw the steerman. He was at his post and holding the wheel unwaveringly and inch by inch turning the ship out to sea. The pilot saw the watcher and smiled. Then the daring passenger went below and gave out a note of cheer. "I have seen the face of the pilot." And he smiled. "So all is well." My dear friends, you know what we need to do? We just need to look to the pilot. We just need to see the pilot. And the pilot is going to say, "All is well. I'm in charge of your, I'm steering the ship of your life." And when we look at Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when we look to Him and we look into His eyes, and we draw nigh to Him, can you not hear, "All is well"? And then we can respond with that song, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, just quote a little bit of it. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." We need to look to Him, the steerman, "All is well." My question, are you uncomfortable? Are you at a time of life where things just are not comfortable for you? Do you have the comforter within you? My question. Do you have that comfort within you? He is inviting you to draw near to Him. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and what? And He will draw nigh to you. So for those of you, you say, "Well, I don't really understand what you mean by the comforter is going to be with you and in you. I don't understand all the details of that. I don't understand all the details of it either. But I can say this to you. There's a way to have that. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And then He says, "I'm going to give you the comforter. I'm going to give you the comforter." When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the comforter dwells within you forever and ever. So you say, "Well, preach, okay, what do I do?" Well, first of all, you need to realize that you've done some bad things. I've done some bad things. There's a price to pay for those bad things. For the wages of sin, wrongdoings, is death. That's not just a physical death. That's your soul being separated from God. That's that death, the second death, is what it's called. That's the death that we're talking about. And so, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, if you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, if you ask, it's a simple thing. This is not salvation 101. It's not difficult. It's a decision, a serious decision, but it's not difficult. It's not ritualistic. So if you ask, if you can forgive, if you ask God for forgiveness, Lord, please forgive me of my wrongdoings. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. So you don't have to die, face that second death. And if you accept him, that free gift, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, then he will. And you'll have that comforter dwelling with you and in you forever. That's a wonderful thing. And he even told them, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. And then we can call God our Father once we're saved. For those of you that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me ask you a question. Where are you running to in your uncomfortable times? Are you drawing nigh to the Lord, or are you going this route, that route, trying to do this, trying to do that? What are you doing in your uncomfortable situations? When God is plainly telling us, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am your comfort. I am the one that wants to comfort you. Draw nigh to me. Many people, and I could say amen to this, I know how I am. Lots of times I'm facing times of tribulation. I tend to draw away and try to get self-help. I try to do self-medication on myself and self-this and self-that. And I'm not the comforter. And so drawing nigh to Mike Kelly during times of tribulations has never helped me. It's drawing nigh to him. He never tells us that we're our own comfort. He says, I am your comfort, and I want to comfort you. And so I tell you, listen to me, my dear friends. Let's humble ourselves and draw nigh to him and let him be the comforter of our lives today. Amen. Father, how we love you. And Lord, we may have some folk here today that are just at an uncomfortable time in their life. Lord, as you know, I have faced many of them and will face many more. But Father, I want to thank you for not leaving us comfortless. Lord, all you're doing, you're just telling us to draw close to you. And today, I pray that, Father, that you will help each one of us to draw nigh to you, the God of comfort. Lord, help us to be humble. Help us not to be proud. I pray that, God, that we will surrender. Like we sang earlier, Lord, I give myself away. Lord, may we give ourselves to you. And Lord, I pray that we'll take advantage of the opportunities that we have as your dear children to come to you. Lord, oh, how troubling it is when a parent realizes that their child is hurting. And they realize that their child could be comforted. They can comfort their child, and their child tends to draw away from them. How troubling it may be for that parent. And God, I believe it disappoints you when you see your dear children draw away from you or pull away from you in times when they need to be drawing close to you. So I pray that, God, that we will humble ourselves today and come before your throne and plead with you, Lord, that you will draw us nigh as we come. You told us in your word, Lord, the promise is there. If we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. So we're asking for that today. Father, if there's someone that don't know you as their Savior, they don't know the Comforter. They don't have the Comforter within them.